Well, we heard a report of the debate at the first council, Council of Jerusalem. And there are many lessons there for us. The fundamental discernment is made by reflecting on what God has done. You know, we're sometimes, where is the future of the community? Where is this? Where is that? And we get all these big plans. No. What's God doing? And try to understand that. Simeon, as James calls him, gets up and says, look, you all know that I was on the top of my roof and praying, and this sheet came down. I told you all about this. And I went and I preached to Cornelius the centurion. And as I was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on him and they began to sing and praise God in tongues just the way we did. And they weren't circumcised. They weren't Jews. And you know what happened. People got upset and I explained it to them and then they were happy. God acted. Now it's our job to understand the consequences of that. And he sits down. Now it's true. Then he appointed Paul to be with Barnabas, the initiator of the whole mission to the Gentiles. And we all know about that. They were praying up in Antioch, seven of them who are gifted with the gift of prophecy, and they were fasting and praying. And the Holy Spirit said, separate from me Barnabas and Saul for a mission I have for them. You know this. You heard it all. That's God acting. So they went out and they preached. And then you have the report, you see, of Barnabas and Paul. They describe signs and wonders. God had worked among them. You see, God acts. And to discern is not, you know, well, if you're trying to get discern whether you should get married or not, well, you've got to sit still and let the Holy Spirit show you. But, I mean, if nobody ever proposes, I mean. But my point here is God acts. And we have to be sensitive to that action of God and understand it and follow it. And so, after Paul, Peter spoke, Paul and Barnabas spoke, and then the word from the Lord. James gets up. After they had all fallen silent, they've heard now from Peter, they've heard from Paul and Barnabas, how God acted. Now James gets up, and he says, Simeon has described how God first concerned himself with acquiring from among the Gentiles a people for his name. This is not foreign to Jewish thinking. Read the Psalms. Oh, read 86. Read anyone you want. Well, not any of them, but so many of them. And the whole prophecies of both Isaiah and Jeremiah. God is going to call the whole world to Jerusalem. God is going to make a covenant with the Gentiles. Now, their presupposition was that that means they're all going to become Jews, meaning follow the observances as we have understood them. That's not what God did. But he did call them and is still calling them. And this, as I said last yesterday, is quite a turning point. And so James then confirms all this with the word of God. This has been foreseen. The words of the prophets agree with this. As it is written, I shall return and rebuild the fallen hut of David. From its ruins I shall rebuild it and raise it up again, so that the rest of humanity may seek out the Lord, even all the Gentiles on whom my name is invoked. This is a text from Amos. And it's just been fulfilled in our midst, is it not? You see, I have raised up the hut of David, in Jesus, my son. When you say, you know, he raised up on the third day according to Scripture. Where is it in Scripture? Only text is that one in Hosea 6. But it says, you know, let us seek the Lord, you know, and in 3 days he will raise us up. When Jesus rose from the dead, all Israel rose. And all James is saying now is, don't you see? It's not only in Hosea, it's in Amos. The promise to rebuild the fallen hut. And to do it by having the rest of humanity, the rest of men, seek out the Lord. Even all the Gentiles, on whom my name is invoked. Now you see, what he has done is what he has prophesied. And then he makes his recommendations. And the recommendations are what are called the Noachic laws, some laws of Noah. If you look through the first, the action starts when God calls Abraham. But there's a lot of action before that. And so the Jews, studying all that, said, God already gave laws. And he gave these laws. You see? Stay away from idols. Stay away from consanguinity in marriage. Don't marry your own relatives just to keep the money in the family, you know, or any other reason. The meat of strangled animals and blood. If those are called the Noachic laws, and they were given so that Jews and Gentiles could associate with each other. It's hard for us in our, what's the right word, sloppy world. But I mean, the only people today who get nervous about these things, yeah, some Orthodox Jews over in Mea Shearim, and some observant Muslims. Eat this, don't eat that. Do this, don't do that. The advantage to all of that is you have a culture. You have a way of life. We don't. You don't have to make it with all these rules. But the point is, you see, so these four things, it's already agreed, if you'll do these four, we can associate with you Gentiles, even though you're Gentiles. Now, he's saying, it's not just when they're Gentiles. When they come in, they don't have to keep the whole Mosaic law. And they're just as much a part of God's people as we are. Let them absorb these Noachic laws. From no immorality, and the things you just heard about. Avoid pollution. Porneia is the word in the text, Greek text. And it means unchastity, but what they mean here is unlawful marriage. Marriage within the bonds of consanguinity. People did that a lot. Marry your first cousin, keep the money in the family. And that's wrong, because what that produces is lust in the family. And so, there's no, besides the fact that you do it enough, your bloodline gets weak. But and so that's the solution. But it's very important to see when you're trying to discern something, how you do it. What is God doing? That's where you start. We're looking to understand where the community should go. Look and see, what is God doing? Second that. Agree with that. And from that, then, understand the teaching of Scripture.